Recordings have started.
Thank you very much, Ivy. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the GNSL Council meeting on the 18th of May, 2017. Would you please acknowledge your name when I call it? Thank you ever so much. James Liddell.
Here.
Donna Austin.
Here.
Lumen School. Yes, you're noting the chat, Rubens. Keith Drazik.
Here.
Darcy Sedwell.
Here.
Michaela Nealon.
Here.
Valerie Tan.
Here.
Phil Corwin.
Present.
Susan Kawaguchi.
Here.
Paul McGrady.
Here.
Wolf Wallace-Nilden.
Here.
Rafik Damak.
Here.
Thank you. Stephanie Perrin. I know that Stephanie is not yet in the Adobe Connect room. We'll turn back to her later. Stefania Milan, I believe you are on audio, but you have given your proxy to Stephanie Perrin in case of connectivity issues. That's correct. Okay.
Yeah, I'm here, but I'm in transit, so I might disappear at some point.
All right, noted. Thank you very much. Heather Forrest.
Here, Natalie. Thank you.
Thank you. Tony Harris.
Here.
Ed Morris.
Here, Natalie.
Thank you. Martin Silva-Valent. And I notice Martin is just joining the Adobe Connect room now. Welcome, Martin. Marilia Maciel is not on the call yet. We'll follow up with him. Joel Carlson, yes?
Here.
Sarah Langdon-Hall? I believe Cheryl was on the bridge with us. We'll circle back. Ben Fuller?
Yeah.
Erica Mann?
Yep, I'm here.
Thank you. And I'd like to note that we also have on the call with us Thomas Rickett and Marcus Cameron. From staff, David Olive sends his apologies for today's call. We also have with us Mary Wong, Marika Kernings, Julie Headland, Steve Chan, Amir Sadir, Emily Barabas, Barry Cobb, Terry Agnew, Sarah Kaplis for technical support, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. I'd like to remind you all to please remember to state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, James.
Thank you, Natalie, and good morning, and welcome everyone to the GNSO Council call for the 18th of May. As per our standard protocol, does anyone have any updates to their status as a counselor or their statements of interest? If so, please raise your hand. Okay, seeing none, we'll move on then to our agenda. The agenda was circulated on our council list and appears in the Adobe chat room there. Does anyone have any updates or amendments or additions to our agenda or any item they'd like to include in AOB? If so, raise your hand. Keith, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, James. Thanks very much, Keith Drazik. For AOB, I'd just like to suggest that we chat briefly about sort of the upcoming work of the Standing Selection Committee as it relates to, I think it's a number of appointments that the GNSO Council will need to make. You know, one I think is moving the representative to the Empowered Community from rep to the Empowered Community from interim to permanent status, and I think there's a couple of others, maybe ATRT3. I may be missing one or two, but I think that's something that we need to cover. Thanks.
Thanks, Keith. We will note that for AOB. And just to point out that I did ask Susan Kawaguchi to give us a brief update on the SSC, which I believe held a call earlier this week. And I think, Susan, if you don't mind, we'll put you on the spot for an update later on in our call. Okay, great. Thank you for that, and thank you, Keith. Any other updates to our agenda? Okay, seeing none, then we'll move into our, we'll just note the minutes from previous council meeting. Those were posted for the April 6th meeting for a meeting that occurred in Copenhagen, and then the meeting that we conducted in late April was posted on the 8th of May. Those meetings are on our mailing list. Those meeting minutes are on our mailing list. If anyone has any updates, please take the chance to review those and then respond. And then finally, just to note that we, in the interim, since our last call, we conducted an electronic ballot on the motion to initiate a policy amendment process on protections for Red Cross and Red Crescent names. And hopefully everyone had no troubles accessing their ballot and casting their votes. The results of that, and I can certainly turn it over to Natalie for an in-depth discussion, but the results of that was that the motion did carry. It was not unanimous. I believe we had a couple of abstentions, including a statement from I believe, the IPC. So just noting that that motion was passed, and that topic does come up again later in our agenda for the call today, item number 7, where we discuss next steps. Okay, then moving on to our review of projects and open action items, and if I could ask staff to pull up that list, and while we're doing that, Keith, just noting your hand is still up. I'm assuming that's an old hand from before.
Yep, old hand, sorry.
No worries, thanks. Gave us something to talk about and stall for time while staff loaded the spreadsheet. Okay, here we go. Thank you for putting that up. We have a couple of open action items, including several that appear in our agenda for today. The ICANN 59 schedule, the GNSO schedule for the upcoming policy forum in Johannesburg. We have the Section 16 amendment for Red Cross and Red Crescent names. We have a couple of completed items here. We filled our slate of liaisons, so thank you to all of those who volunteered during our last meeting. And we have submitted our comments on the fiscal year 18 upcoming strategic plan and budget. We have a couple of in-progress items with regard to the CCWG on internet governance, which is being discussed later today. Our response to the GAC communique is up for a vote. We have a finalization of the GNSO nominees for the RDS team. I can provide an update on that. We selected our slate, but the SOs and ACs are still trying to work out a time to meet and finalize the overall slate of members for that review team. And so far, that meeting has not occurred, and there were a number of challenges to holding that meeting this week. So I believe that that is now targeted for next week. I will certainly update the council once we have some additional updates. Then moving on to the next items here, we have the EC, which Keith and Susan will, which Keith mentioned, Susan will provide an update. We have FICUIS implementation. I'm not sure. I'll probably have to circle back with staff on what we need to do there. We definitely have this ongoing issue with IGOs and INGOs, which we'll discuss later on, and PDP improvements. And actually, I thought that one was complete, but I would defer to Marika on what remaining action items are required on PDP improvements. I think this is mainly just an ongoing process and continuous improvements to our operating and our management of the PDPs. Marika, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, James. This is Marika. On the PDP improvements, and that allows me at the same time to give you an update on some of the other work what we're doing, because as a result of the work of the drafting team, we're now in the process, or we're hoping that we're close to at least finalizing some of the outstanding questions that staff still had before we were able to make some of the recommended changes to the GNSO operating procedures and bylaws as a result of the recommendations of that group. And in conjunction with that, there are a number of other items that need updating in the GNSO operating procedures, one of which relates to the PDP improvements, which is this notion of the integration of the proposed PDP charter as part of the preliminary issue report. So that is one of the outstanding items on that one. And we also had an action item as staff to develop a draft guidelines for the use and application of face-to-face facilitated PDP working group meetings. But we may need to have a separate conversation around that, as that pilot or that budget that has been set aside for that hasn't really been used anymore, as we've now moved towards having those meetings within the ICANN meeting. So the question is that still needed, or will that now be taken over by the work that will take place in relation to the guidelines for travel support as part of the new pilot for PDP working group chairs and leadership? And if I can also take advantage and move back to the previous item, which you noted, that the sick who is item, that's still on the list here. This is still an outstanding item, which I think the council started discussing before the meeting in Copenhagen. And I think that the item there is that there's, I believe it was, if I'm not mistaken, I think Keith and Susan, or possibly Erica, that indicated that they wanted to have another look at that request that was originally drafted by Erica to see whether or not that needed to be adapted and brought back to the council. So I think the question is that still an item that the council needs to deal with or is willing to take up? Although I know, I think there have been separate conversations as well on obtaining input, especially on new EU data protection legislation. I see Keith has his hand up, so I'm sure he'll be responding to that. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Marika. And before I go to Keith, I'll just note that every opportunity we've raised to discuss this particular topic seems to kill our agenda. But Keith, if you have any updates or specific actions related to that, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, James. I think rather than killing our agenda, maybe I'll propose killing this topic, and I'll certainly want to hear from Susan and Erica on that, and I think Stephanie had volunteered as well at one point to contribute. But the topic that we raised in Copenhagen was, and even before, was the GNSO Council, you know, wanting to or suggesting that the GNSO Council ask for an updated legal memo from ICANN on the issue of the GDPR. But I think that's been overtaken by events now that the contracted party house, because we made no progress previously at the council level, the contracted party house, the chairs of the registries and registrar stakeholder group took it upon themselves to send that request to ICANN staff. ICANN has that. We've been told they're working on it. So I think we can put a line through this one unless anybody objects. Thanks.
Thanks, Keith, for that update and for refreshing our memory. I do remember in Copenhagen there was some discussion of whether the council was the appropriate body to raise this request, and I do note that this was raised with GDD, and during the GDD summit, the staff reported that they are working on this. I guess my open question, and I see Erica with her hand up, is what does that do with the memo that was written by Erica? Is that something that we want to salvage for a different effort before we strike this from our action list? And I'll go to Erica for that question and any other thoughts she has.
Thank you so much. I have actually not thought about it, what we should do with it. So give me a little bit of time, and I will send in a follow-up email concerning this topic. But I think I agree. First of all, I support what Keith said, so I fully support him. Second, the memo is still valid. The issue becomes even more hotly debated within our own communities. I have seen many threats in different community mailing list or a Facebook list so that the topic is still debated. And I think it will be continue to be important that I can prepare the legal memo. I'm very, very doubtful that without a clear legal memo, a solution will be found that is legally really viable. So give me time. So just to go back, and maybe we need to check, and Marika maybe can do this best just to check where the memo is. Are they doing something with this? Is there a plan internally to send us a legal notice as soon as possible, so just that we get the details right? Thanks so much, James. Back to you.
Thank you, Erica. Very helpful. And before I go to Marika, I think that it sounds like that the general take on this is that this item probably needs to come off of the council's plate.
Yeah.
And this list of our to-do items, and then just move to, to some of these other areas where they are, the work is continuing and the discussions are ongoing, but it's just not necessarily something that needs to be on our to-do list. But Marika, go ahead. You'll have the last word on this.
This is Marika. I just wanted to note, and I also put it in the chat, that if I recall well, I think one of the original objectives was as well that a memo like that would help inform the RDS-PDP working group and its deliberations, but that group has already separately started looking for legal guidance or input to help with responses to a set of questions that they prepared originally for their session with data protection commissioners, but that also goes to the question indeed of what is the impact of the new legislation with regards to the work or the questions that they're looking at. So they seem to already are moving along their own path, and as Keith noted, I think the contracted party house has taken the initiative with regards to what they need or what they want to discuss. So indeed it does seem that at the moment at the council level it may not be necessary to further pursue this.
Okay, thank you, Marika and Erica. Is that an alternate or okay, new hand. Go ahead, Erica.
Yeah, I'm always a bit concerned about what Marika just said. So you have to keep in mind that these commissioners which we invited, they are national commissioners. They have a say about the European landscape as well. But they have their own political agenda, why they want to become so relevant in our environment. So I would urge us a little bit be careful. I don't mind we do this, but we have to be careful and a bit prudent. That's one of the reasons why a legal memo from an outside council is so important. Because don't forget, this legislation, which will be implemented, has so many open agendas still. So whatever they see as an opportunity to gain power, they will take. So it is super important to have an independent legal opinion from a council really done for our environment. And I would be really cautious just to follow, to give them too many questions, which they then will reply upon, because this may be in legal terms in the future, if we ever have even a legal case coming up, might be not a very clever idea.
Thank you, Erica. That's noted. And before we go to Susan, I just want to note that we are still discussing our action items. I think we have very clear indications that while this is an important subject, it probably needs to come off of our list of action items. I'm just trying to pull our conversation back onto the road here a little bit and not dive too much into the substance here. But Susan, we'll give you the last word, and then we'll just need to move on to our consent agenda. Susan, go ahead.
Thanks, James. Susan Palazzucci for the record. And I agree, Erica, what we're doing beyond the DPAs is reaching out to CCTLDs to see if they will give us some insight on how they're handling that. But also we're sort of want to make sure that we ask for that legal analysis at the right time for the working group. And in the leadership team didn't feel like now was exactly the right time, but would be happy to see the council and or the CPH do this. So
Correct.
But I'm sure there'll be another legal request coming from us, from the working group.
Okay, thank you, Susan. Good exchange, folks. And again, I just want to emphasize that we're not abandoning this work. It is important. We're just moving it to other avenues where it can perhaps pick up a little bit of speed. So thank you for that. Let's then shift our focus to the project list, which is the list of all the ongoing PDPs and IRTs. And I just want to report that council chairs have had separate meetings with the leadership of each of the PDPs to discuss their, to get an update on their status, to discuss their immediate deliverables, their timeline for completing their work, and any challenges or barriers or resource constraints that they've encountered. I think those went fairly well, and we did have some follow-up action items and some takeaways, but we have, since that occurred a couple weeks ago, we have shifted to a discussion now with the leadership of the implementation review teams, the IRTs, and while scheduling all of those has been a challenge, we do note that we've met with a couple of them, and we have a couple more on deck for later this week and early next. So that is ongoing, and I think that is meant to just ensure that these folks have an opportunity to raise their hands if they need any assistance or help from council, because otherwise, if they don't meet with us or make a formal presentation in Johannesburg, then they would be out to sea effectively from Copenhagen to Abu Dhabi, and that's a long time to kind of be out there on your own. So we wanted to take that initiative. I think that's been fairly well received. I think the advice or guidance that we have provided where appropriate was also taken on board, and that any concerns or even just issues that were flagged for council have also been received by us, and we're taking a look at what we can do to help some of these PDP leaders facilitate their work. So with that, let's just kind of skim through this list fairly quickly and note that we have some active working groups here, including a couple of PDPs, the GNSO Standing Selection Committee, which we'll get an update from Susan briefly at the end of our call. We have the CCWGs, including the CCWG on Internet Governance, which is on our agenda. The CCWGs, I believe, on Accountability Workstream 2. We have a discussion about the Charter and Budget Extension on our agenda. And the others, I think, are fairly familiar to this group. We have two that are waiting on a board vote, including the IGO-INGO Red Cross issue and the Geo-Regions Review. And then we have several PDPs that are in an implementation phase, including the Review Working Group, the Revised Bylaws Drafting Team, the Privacy Proxy Translation Transliteration IRTPC has an open item associated with it, and FIC Who is also kind of hanging out there. And if you scroll down, I think there's one more, which is the implementation of IGOs and INGOs. So that's currently what we have in as far as active working groups, active cross-community groups with GNSO participation and PDPs and IRTs. So any questions or comments on these groups or any questions or comments relating to our discussions with the chairs? Okay. Seeing an empty queue. Oh, I'm sorry. I jumped the gun there. McKelly, go ahead.
Thanks, Jason. Kelly, for the record. Just very briefly, I think it's a good idea that there is this continuous back and forth between the GNSO Council and the PDP working groups. I think it's at times it can be quite easy for the be a kind of a disjoint and impossible breakdown in communication between the council and the various PDPs. So this is definitely a positive move. Thanks.
Thanks, McKelly. And I think that, you know, if that catches on, it's maybe something that we could do, see as a fixture going forward, just as a part of the GNSO's management of those PDPs to check in periodically with the leaders and take a more assertive posture in that. So that's I think that is something that we could look at going forward. Okay, let's then move on. If there are no other comments, let's move on to agenda item number 3, which is our consent agenda. And we have two items on the consent agenda, and I will wait for just a moment while put away this document and get our agenda back down from the shelf here. If I could ask staff to pull that up. So here that is loading now. The consent agenda, which is normally empty, has two items. The first is the acknowledgement of the selection from the non-contracted party house of Matthew Shears for seat number 14 on the board, and that Matthew would be seated at the end, I believe it's the end, let's say at the end of or during the annual general meeting in Abu Dhabi, which would be the conclusion of Marcus's term. And that was an interesting exercise, as Mary can probably weigh in that because of the new bylaws, the empowered community must ratify or confirm or designate the members of the board. And so there was a discussion on the empowered community of whether or not that needed to take the form of a formal vote or discussion, or indeed whether other communities, other SOs and ACs would have the ability to weigh in on the selection of board members of another SO and AC. And this is all just kind of, you know, feeling the empowered community finding its legs, doing some of these operations for the first time. The good news is I think that all agreed that when a community, an SO or AC, makes a designation makes a nomination for the board of directors using its own internal selection processes, that the empowered community administration should simply, as a formality, should simply make that designation and relay that to the board. And I can report that that is currently occurring not only for the GNSO seat 14, but also I believe for the for another seat, I think for the ALAC. So so with that in mind, just a note here that we are making that designation for Matthew Shears. And then the second item is we had some discussion on the list that the CCWG Workstream 2 has requested that their charter, which was originally scheduled to conclude at the end of this fiscal year, which is, I believe, the end of June, they're asking, they're noting that their work will not be complete at that time. They're asking for an extension not only of their charter, but of the unused portion of the allocated budget. They would like to see that carried over from fiscal year 17 to fiscal year 18, and that is a request that they have prepared, and they've asked all the SOs and ACs and chartering organizations to weigh in on that, and this motion in the consent agenda is to, in fact, lend the GNSO support to that request. Sorry, I'm actually in a hotel room trying not to wake my neighbors, Paul. Okay, so that's what I have on the consent agenda. Does anyone have any comments or questions on the consent agenda that they'd like to discuss? We'll open the queue. The queue is empty, so I'm assuming that means that everyone is ready to go ahead and proceed with a vote. So if that's if there are no objections, I'd recommend that we just go to a vote by acclamation. Okay. Natalie, if you would do the honors, please.
Thank you very much, James. Would anyone like to abstain from this motion? Hearing none, would all those in favor of the motion please say aye.
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 Thank you. Stephanie Perrin, proxy for Stefania Milan, would you please express your vote? Say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. James, with no abstention, no objection, the motion passes.
Thank you, Natalie, and we'll note that for the record. Okay, staff and the council leadership will follow up on those two items. Agenda item number four is another vote, and this one is a formal motion on the review of the GAC communique, and this is the, I'll wait for staff to load that motion, but just to note that this motion was withdrawn from our meeting in April and therefore needed to be resubmitted. However, in the interim, we gave a copy of our draft response to the board so that they would have it in time to discuss with their conversation with the GAC. So I'll just go ahead and read the resolve clauses of this motion, which was made by me and seconded by McKelly. It is resolved. The GNSO Council adopts the GNSO review of the Copenhagen GAC communique, and there's the link, and requests that the GNSO Council Chair communicate the GNSO review of the GAC, Copenhagen GAC communique to the ICANN board. Resolve two, the GNSO Council requests that the Council Chair also inform the GAC Chair of the communication between the GNSO Council and the ICANN board. That's the motion that we have before us, and hopefully you've had an opportunity to review the final draft language of the response to the Copenhagen communique. And with that, I will open the queue for discussion. Phil, you're up first.
Yes, thank you, James. Still, for the record, I support the motion. I just wanted to note I published an article 2 days ago that I copied council members on with the link that in the meeting that the board had with the GAC 2 days after receipt of our draft comment on the communique, the board nonetheless agreed to engage in discussions with individual GAC members on the two-character issue, which is of some concern to me and I think of others, and I just wanted to note that I think that makes adopting this comment on the communique even more important, and with follow-up action dialogue with the board on that and other issues. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil, and thanks for sharing your blog posts with the council list. It is something that I think we very clearly took a strong position on in our communique. Paul?
Paul McGrady for the record. So I want to ask a clarifying question to Phil. So they have, has the board officially taken the position that they therefore must engage with individual countries, or was it less formal than that? And I ask because I do think that in the event the board goes down this road, that we should consider some sort of action that is more than just resident in a response to a GAC communique. I think that this is if the GAC can essentially force the board to engage in bilateral negotiations with individual countries over whatever topic they want, that is the end of predictability, and I think it is outside the scope of the bylaws that came out of the accountability review. It was supposed to be more accountability, not less. So I guess I'm trying to understand, are we at that point yet where we have the formal crisis, or is it still an informal crisis? Thanks.
Paul, what alerted me to this, we sent the date of the letter we sent to the board conveying the draft views on the communique was April 25th. The call between the board and the GAC was on the 27th. I note Donna's comment in the chat that her understanding is that response was not timely enough for the board to be able to consider it. I'm not sure why, because it was sent 2 days before that call. But the specific action that was taken, and just let me get to this right now, and in my article, the full text from the notes of the board GAC call of April 27th are item number 4 in the appendix to the article. And I'll just read it so you know exactly what it says, which is all I know about. The board indicated that the ICANN organization would consult with interested GAC members on this issue. The staff lead is David Olive. The board sees this as the beginning of a dialogue to identify issues and possible solutions. David Olive, supported by Olaf Nordling, will work with GAC leadership to determine how to identify interested GAC members and whether to have bilateral or group discussions. Several GAC members suggested a group discussion with interested members would be more efficient in production. I'll skip some of this. David Olive committed to having as many discussions as possible before ICANN 59, subject to availability of relevant people. Then it goes on to note the about a dozen or so countries that are interested in participating in any discussion. So it appears that they have, said yes and that they're committed to some process of some indeterminate length in engaging with these GAC members who raised such a fuss about the board's implementation of the two-character issue last November after taking all the relevant GAC advice into account. So that's all I know. What's in the notes, which I found as I was researching the article, I went back to the GAC website and to look at the official text of the communique and noted that these notes had been posted. So that's it. That's all I know. But they are engaging in discussions, and it's not clear how long they will take or what the expected outcome is or how it might affect what the board has already done last November.
Thanks, Phil. I know that we have Paul and Donna in the queue, and I think I have some ideas on what we can do in a matter of follow-up to get you some of those answers. Paul, go ahead.
Thanks. Paul McGrady again, for the record. So, James, you and I are probably heading the same way because I think we do need to have an answer, I guess, from the board of whether or not they are engaging in the bilateral discussions that the faulty GAC advice called for, along with its obligation to reach agreement, which was also in the faulty GAC advice, or if the board's just being nice and talking to various countries, which, of course, it has every right to talk to various countries about whatever it wants to talk to various countries about. So I think we need to find a way to get an answer to that question. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. Donna?
Thanks, James. Donna Austin. My understanding is that the board hasn't officially responded to the GAC advice yet. That goes through another process. So the idea behind the conversation they had with the GAC was to understand, was to make sure that they understand the elements of the GAC communique that might be a bit sketchy for the board. So that's kind of an exploratory dialogue, I suppose. The board has agreed to those conversations, and David Olive will facilitate those. There is a kind of secondary question in there that I think Mark Carvel asked during that call. So there's two elements to the GAC advice. One is about the process that the board follows when it agrees to the resolution in Hyderabad, and the second part is those individual discussions with governments about the the use of the two characters at the second level. So I think I don't know that the board has actually responded on that first issue related to process, and I guess that will come out in the final communique. I'd just like to suggest that before we get too strident on our concerns about the GAC going outside the bounds of what's in the bylaws, perhaps it might be a good idea that we actually have a conversation with the GAC around this. I don't know whether we've got anything on the agenda for our discussion in Johannesburg, but maybe it's worth having a conversation with the GAC so that at least we can be informed about what their position is and how they see that, you know, the manner in which they've provided advice is actually consensus advice. So I think that would be a helpful conversation for us to have before we get, you know, too strident in the manner in which we think they are within or without the bylaws. You know, understanding that corralling the thoughts of 140 governments is a difficult thing to do, and that the communique itself is a vehicle that allows the GAC to reach a position that is acceptable to everybody, and it's probably better than having, you know, those countries that feel disenfranchised with the two-character thing coming out separately from the GAC. So we need to understand that it's a delicate balance that the, you know, particularly Thomas is the chair of the GAC, that they're trying to manage within the GAC itself and what comes out in the communique. So I think we should be a little bit sensitive to that, and perhaps if we have a conversation with the GAC, we might get a better understanding of, you know, how they came to the view that this was consensus advice they could put in the communique as such. Thanks, James.
Thanks, Donna, and I think your intervention just further reinforces the idea that we have some gaps in our knowledge that we need to get closed, and I would like to point out that we have a call scheduled between the GNSO leadership and the GAC leadership on next week on the 23rd of May in preparation for discussions in Johannesburg, so we can certainly table this item then and understand a little bit more about what their intentions are on this topic. I'll go to Paul.
Hi, Paul McGrady here again for the record. So I think talking to the GAC is well and good, but they're not the ones making the decision here. The board is making the decision about whether or not they're going to engage in bilateral discussions and be forced to reach an agreement or not. In other words, are they going to comply with this GAC advice or not? And the way that it was written, unfortunately, even though we were told it wouldn't be written this way, is that unless there's a supermajority vote saying no, then the GAC advice sticks. It would be great if we could, wait around to Johannesburg and ask a bit about what's going on. But unfortunately, coming out of the same accountability review mechanism that brought us the supermajority board vote to ignore GAC advice also brought us a 15-day, I believe, window to file a request for reconsideration for staff or board action. And so we really don't have until Johannesburg if we're going to take advantage of some of the basic accountability mechanisms that were baked into the new bylaws. So I think this is on a completely different time frame than what I'm hearing from others on this call. And just as long as, you know, as long as we're all aware that if we drag our feet to Johannesburg, we're foreclosing accountability mechanisms. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. And just a note, you know, my comment there was that we were going to meet with the GAC next week. We can certainly schedule a board meeting or discussion with some of the appropriate folks from the board to understand when their decision is expected on this sooner than the meeting in Johannesburg. And my understanding is the 15-day clock doesn't start until the board actually makes some sort of formal decision. So we can get a better sense on when that can be expected and what the ETA on that decision is, and then we can decide accordingly. But I think that we need to follow up with both groups. I think we need to, you know, put a marker down with the GAC that we would like to discuss this with them, not only in Johannesburg, but we'd also like to raise this with the board and understand what their decision process will be. And I think we're all certainly agreed that the language in our response to the communique is fairly clear that we have concerns on this. And Donna's point is noted that we are sympathetic or sensitive to some of the challenges, but that doesn't it doesn't necessarily clear a path to rewriting the rule book. So, okay, the queue is clear. Does anyone else want to weigh in on this topic before we move to a adoption of our response, and I think our response on this topic is fairly clear. And thanks to everyone who contributed to the drafting of that language and the drafting of the language on other topics as well. Okay, if there are no objections, then I'd like to go ahead and move to a vote, and I'd like to move to a I'd like to conduct a vote by acclamation so that we can get this resolved fairly quickly. Natalie, if you would do the honors, please.
Thank you very much, James. Would anyone like to abstain from this motion? Please say your name. Hearing no one, would anyone like to vote against this motion? Hearing none, would all those in favor of the motion please say aye.
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 Thank you. Stephanie Perrin, proxy for Stefania Milan, please express your vote and say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Stephanie. With no abstention, no objection, the motion passes. Over to you, James.
Thank you, Natalie, and thank you, counselors. And with regard to our conversation, if you note resolve number one, when we communicate this to the board support staff, we will also make that request that we would like to better understand their process and timeline for a decision on the communique, in particular the two-letter string issue, two-character string issue, sorry. So we will incorporate that into our response when we send them this this letter. Okay, I see there's a lot of stuff going on in the chat here from Phil, and I apologize that I'm not able to read and speak at the same time. So hopefully someone is keeping up with that, and Phil, feel free to raise your hand if you'd like to get that on the record in some other way. But otherwise, we'll move on then to agenda item number five, which is a discussion of CCWG Accountability Workstream 2, which is the an update on the status and the timeline for delivery of a final report. Workstream 2, as you'll recall, is finalizing its work, but it is not going to be complete until the end of, or until beyond the end of this fiscal year. So they're asking for an extension of their charter and an extension of their budget. They are also, I believe, has been a change at the leadership level with Mathieu stepping down from as the CCNSO co-chair. And so we're looking for an update on all of those headlines and more from one of our favorite CCWG co-chairs, Thomas Rickert, who has joined us. Thomas, if you are on the line and able to speak, I will turn it over to you and for a brief update on this CCWG. Thomas, go ahead.
Thanks very much, James. I'm on the audio and I'm able to speak, and thanks so much for this kind introduction. Maybe to start with the change at the leadership level. As you well know, we started this whole CCWG work with three co-chairs, being Mathieu Weil representing the CCNSO, Leon Sanchez representing ALEC, and myself representing the GNSO. And we had two changes over time. The first of one is that Leon Sanchez will take a board seat at the upcoming AGM. So I guess that's great news and well-deserved for Leon, but that also means that he cannot continue being a co-chair until the work of the CCWG Works 2 is done. So we do not yet know who's going to replace him, if any, but we do know that he plans to work on this team for as long as he can, but as soon as he's going to be conflicted, then certainly he will be stepping down. The other change is that Mathieu Weil left. He left at quite short notice. He now has a very important position with the Ministry of Economic Affairs in France. If I'm not mistaken, I can't tell the exact title, but he's responsible for everything digital, heading a big team of of public servants, and I think that's that was a great opportunity for him. But that meant that he had to give up his CCWG and ICANN and AFNIC-related duties in a matter of a couple of days. But we are glad to be able to announce to you that Jordan Carter has taken over since he was recently appointed by the CCWG, excuse me, by the CCNSO as co-chair. And I guess that this was an excellent pick, particularly because Jordan Carter has been instrumental in the success during Workstream 1. He was rapporteur at the time, and so he knows how we work, he knows all the processes, he knows the subject matter, and we already had an initial leadership call, and it looks very promising. I guess we're having an excellent team, and I it is with pleasure that I see Cheryl, who's also in the leadership team, seeing ticking this green. So welcome to Jordan, should he ever hear about this presentation to the GNSO Council. So in the, I'm not going to make this too long, but I wanted to share a few thoughts and a little bit of information with you, because as you know, we have not managed to be as far in our works on Workstream 2 as we would have hoped. I think that part of that is due to the fact that we had a slower start than we originally anticipated, and that itself may be the reason, may be caused by people being exhausted after this Herculean task getting Workstream 1 done. So we started a little bit late, or at least the substantive work in all of the sub-teams started a little later than anticipated. Also, I guess that in certain areas, the discussions turned out to be more complex than originally anticipated. And what we've now done, and the GNSO Council knows this perfectly well, is that we've had time. And James, you mentioned during the introduction that we were asking for more budget, but actually at this point in time, we're asking for more time to get the work done. We have not exhausted the budget that has been allocated to our task, to our group. So we are quite confident that if the extension goes smoothly, that we will be able to complete our work by June 2018. But this really requires the whole community and the ICANN board to work together in a very collegial manner and work very hard and on time on various aspects of what we need to do. So the issue was that, and just responding to James's comment in the chat, that we had a mechanism with worked on with the PCST to ask for additional funds, but we did not have any process defined to carry forward budget that has not been exhausted in one financial year to the new financial year. So I guess that's the good news, that we will not ask for more money. We will, at least at this point in time, we cannot see the need for asking for more money. We're asking for more time. And it is critical that we get the job done within the new project plan that we've been working on, because it is very uncertain that we will get another extension. And therefore, you know, we should all work hard to get the job done by June 2018. And in order to get that done, all sub-teams need to be done by ICANN 61 in March 18, so that we have the remaining time for getting the work completed and everything put together. I will speak to that in a moment in a little bit more detail. So in order to be done by ICANN 61, all sub-teams need to have a draft ready by ICANN 60, which is November 17. And if we have two public comment periods per sub-team, i.e. per special interest topic, let's say, in Workstream 1, then we need to have a first draft ready by ICANN 59. And that will require us to have a few public comment periods, or at least one public comment period, run over the summer. So we apologize up front that we might need to do that, or we will definitely need to do that, so that the CCWG plenary can have revised drafts that have undergone public comment periods by ICANN 60. So that's the challenge that we're working against. And what I've asked our great staff to upload in the Adobe Room is the dashboard, which I hope all of you read on a monthly basis. And I guess that this document really takes transparency about our work to the next level. I think this is more or less unprecedented. Some of you will have noticed that this document has 20 slides. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to go through all of them. But just very briefly, I'm going to speak to three of them. This is the original timeline that we had envisaged, and you can see the report date between around May, and given the status of where we are, it is impossible for us to get ready in the originally envisaged time frame. So that will change. We have a new project plan that is actually going till June 2018. So where are we with the individual sub-teams? I'm not going to speak to detail, but you can take a closer look at the document if you are interested in more detail. Please do look at the completion status and the status where you see the green marks, or the green marks with a red circle inside it, or the yellow marks. And that shows you whether the individual sub-teams' work is on track, which is true for five of the topics that we're working on. And then we have two that are on track with the revised schedule, i.e. the schedule that runs until June 2018. And we have two that are behind schedule, but as you can see in the agenda for the bottom line of the slide, recovery is still possible. So we're just waiting for a few things to happen, and then we will be able to put those back on track so that we can deliver on time. Last slide I'm going to use here is a quick overview of where we are in terms of readings in the CCWG plenary. We are working on the basis of the documents being prepared in the subgroups that are led by rapporteurs, and then when the sub-teams think that their work is good to go for plenary adoption, then there are two readings in the CCWG plenary, and that requires us to have two subsequent meetings in the plenary, and that also takes some time to get the documents adopted. Reason for that is that we agreed at the very beginning of the CCWG work that we would never take important decisions in one meeting, so that we can't, you know, you can't game the system just by waiting for, you know, certain folks that might be causing issues to skip a meeting, and then you take a decision then. So we want to make sure that everyone gets a chance to make his or her voice heard. And so you can see with the ticks that we have conducted first and second readings on six out of the 10 topics that we're working on, and we have closed public comment periods on three of them. Three public comment periods are still open, and for the reminder, documents have not yet been adopted. So this is where we are in broad terms. Let me just spend another minute or two on the process that's going to start afterwards. And you can expect some communication. Thomas? Yes.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I just wanted to see if this was a good point for you to take any questions that might be coming up while you have this information on the screen before we move on to the next phase, or if you'd just like to catch all the questions at the end.
I'm perfectly okay with pausing for a moment and seeing whether there are questions.
Okay. Councillors, any questions, or we can have Thomas move into his. Okay, sorry. Sorry for the interruption, Thomas. Please continue.
No worries. I think it was good of you to remind me of inviting councillors to ask questions. I want to spend the last 1 or 2 minutes of my quick update to sort of give you a heads up that we will send a letter to chartering organizations and the board after we've been able to discuss the adoption process further with the CCWG plenary. Because as you can see, we have quite a number of sub-teams working on individual parts of the whole accountability task, and these get ready one after the other. There's no way for us to be able to present the whole document, which is likely going to be a book, to the chartering organizations in one go and then ask you to comment and approve in a matter of days or even weeks, which is why you should note that you will get the individual chunks. We ask the chartering organizations to comment on the individual chunks, whether you're happy with those. And then at the end, we plan to do only another public comment period as well as a consultation with the chartering organizations and the board to ask whether you spot inconsistencies between the individual work packages once we put them together. And this is important because we will likely limit digesting comments or incorporating comments that speak to inconsistencies and not those that speak to issues that could have been brought up earlier. Because if people reserve sort of the right to speak to substance on a subtopic that has been closed like a year back, you know, that would basically make the whole project plan and the whole timing impossible for us. So expect us to come up with such an approach. We will also encourage the board to agree to such approach so that we will have a sequence of getting the individual chunks ready, then getting the whole package ready with the inconsistency check, and then once this is done, then the chartering organizations will get the whole package for approval and the board will get it for approval as well. So I think I should stop here. I hope that I haven't taken too much of your time, and I'm happy to take more questions if there are any.
Thank you, Thomas. I'll ask if the councilors have any questions. I have one small one, so I'll put myself in the queue, but anyone else with a question? Okay, looks like you might be getting off easy today, Thomas, and I think that's probably a result of folks wanting some more time to digest this information and review the slides offline. So I'll ask my question and then, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead, Erica. Erica, if you're speaking, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, please proceed.
Sorry for this. I just have a tiny one, Thomas. I was wondering, where are we on the jurisdiction? I follow it sometimes, and but I'm not totally sure. Is the process totally over, and what is the process ahead of us?
Erica, I suggest that I provide a quick written update, a few lines to be circulated on the council list. What I can say is that
this would be fine. That's fine, Thomas.
With the jurisdiction team, but I would assume that more folks on the council are interested in getting maybe an update on a more granular level. So I will provide that in writing.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. Paul?
Thanks, James. Paul McGrady for the record. So I did my best not to make a comment, but Erica's comment on jurisdiction just made me do it. So I've done my best to participate on that particular group. Frankly, the reason why, in my opinion, it has none of the check boxes, check marks, boxed, or whatever this chart is because it's essentially been allowed to run in circles where they get close to settling the issue about whether or not ICANN is going to be moved to a different jurisdiction. That same topic allows itself to be worked back in and back in around and around and around. And I know that there's been requests that the leadership of the CCWG give guidance on whether or not that topic
is something that's going to be, that should just be, move off that topic. Again, also with the board who have expressed their, complete befuddlement, I guess, that topic is still being discussed. I guess my question for Thomas is, will the CCWG give more concrete guidance on that topic and any of the other topics that are holding back these last four groups from getting done, or will we be here in another year asking for another year? Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. That's a good question, actually. And rest assured that I do not plan to spend the rest of my life on CCWG accountability matters. So I think we owe it to the community and those outside who are waiting for us to get ready, to actually get ready. But I guess that it was John Berard at the time who used the phrase that the work in the multi-stakeholder model is slow, messy, and loud. Maybe he was using slightly different words, but you get the idea. And the reason why sort of we allowed the discussions in the jurisdiction group to linger on maybe longer than some of you would have hoped is that this is a particularly sensitive topic. And closing off or ending such debate too early will surely be perceived as suppressing certain views by those who criticize the process anyway. So I agree that particularly when you're in the working group or in the sub team, you want to get this done faster. But I think experience shows that whenever you have challenging topics, the group is meandering and maybe moving in circles for the initial phase, and then it gets constructive and towards consensus. And my hope is that this pattern will repeat for the jurisdiction sub-team as well.
Thank you, Thomas, and thank you, Paul, for that question about the jurisdiction sub-team. Next up, we have Stephanie and then myself, and then we'll close off this topic. Stephanie, go ahead.
Thanks very much. Stephanie Perrin, for the record, that Thomas made a remark about how, with respect to issues of substance, if you didn't raise it a year ago, now is not the time. And I'm just wondering how you're going to deal in the unlikely event that a truly novel issue of substance is raised, for instance, in a comment. What are you going to do with that? Is it just not going to make it into the final report? Are you going to park it for future study? What's the plan? I'm totally in sympathy with that. I'm not criticizing it, but just wondering.
Thanks very much, Stephanie. That's a great question. And we had a discussion along the same lines when we prepared for the upcoming plenary call. It is certainly possible that those who read the documents late find something that was an oversight by the community previously during public comment period. And I think we will have to leave it to the CCWG whether it refuses its final consensus on the package because of such a newly introduced topic. This will not be a decision for the CCWG leadership, but it will be a decision for the CCWG plenary. I would say that we need to have a quite firm view on process for transparency reasons at the outset so that people do know that we will not allow folks to be quote-unquote lazy early, not reading sub-teams' work products early, not participating in public comment periods for the individual packages when they become ready, but then only chiming in the very last minute and making it impossible for us to conclude. So I think we need to be to try to get agreement that some discipline by all parts of the community and the board is needed on this. And if there are things that do not that are not, let's say, system critical for the whole accountability architecture, one route would be to archive those comments and pass them on
to be digested and incorporated into one of the periodic reviews that we have prescribed in our bylaws.
Thank you, Thomas. Thank you, Stephanie, for your question. I have a quick question, Thomas, and it's regarding the budget. If you have an unallocated portion of the budget allocated to or an unused portion of your allocation that we're going to be carrying forward into the next fiscal year, if I recall from the PST, a big chunk of that budget was staff support. And if the group continues its work for the entirety of fiscal year 2018, but only has an unused portion of staff support being carried forward, is there a real danger, in your opinion, that when we get to the end of fiscal year 2018, this period next year, that Workstream 2 will be over budget because it will have consumed an extra year of staff support that was not part of the original PST projection?
I should say, James, we have at the time done cost estimates to reach out to the chartering organizations and ask for your approval. We are now working on a detailed budget, but according to our estimates so far, we should be fine. You know, we have not used the budget to go out and ask for legal advice, so we have not spent a lot on various subcategories that we had budgeted for. So we should be okay. But the issue is that we really need to make sure that procedurally and substantively, we get ready by the end of this first extension, because I think we will lose credibility and also may not even get the second extension after all. And we've already discussed that if sub-teams can't deliver in time, if, let's say, there's not sufficient community input to get the work done, then this may also be a sign of the community not being sufficiently interested in getting the work on a certain topic done, and then we might need to accept that as an outcome of our work, or partial outcome of our work as well. But again, the idea is not to go beyond June 2018, and the intention is not to go over budget.
Okay, thank you, Thomas, and thank you for addressing that question. Stephanie, is that a new hand? I'm going to assume that, Stephanie, that's an old hand, and it just went down. Okay, thank you. Okay, well, thank you very much, Thomas, for your update and for addressing those questions. I think you've given counselors quite a bit to discuss and to consider. For the council, the next steps here are that we will take these slides, circulate to the list, as well as a link to their to where they can be reached on the web here, and then we will have a broader time to discuss these. I do think, however, we need to proceed on discussing on our list whether or not to grant GNSO approval to the request for a an extension, and in an effort to streamline that process and get a response to the CCWG in a timely manner, I don't know that we necessarily need to move that to a formal motion. We can certainly just discuss on our list and reach a point of non-objection, and I'll work with staff to draft a response back to the CCWG on this point. But again, thank you, Thomas. Thanks for all who not only contributed to our discussion today, but who are participating and following the work of Workstream 2 and driving it towards a completion as soon as possible. Okay, then we are just about 45 minutes remaining in our call. We have a few more agenda items to go through, so let's keep the train moving and move to agenda item number 6. Which is a discussion of the updated charter for the CCWG on internet governance. thank you to, I believe, Donna and Rafiq and a couple of other folks who were exchanging some views on the list on this topic. I think, you know, I'd be happy to open the discussion, open the queue for discussion, but I think that at a certain point here, we probably should target Johannesburg for a discussion on what we need to do to either extend, renew, modify, or withdraw GNSO support as a chartering organization for the CCWG. And I think that a decision point is in our near future, not necessarily on today's call, but it is something that we should be driving this topic towards towards a resolution. So with that, I would just open the queue to anyone who would like to weigh in on this particular topic. I know there was some discussion on the list, anyone else would like to add to that, this is the opportunity. And here's Donna's note as well, which I think was the most recent post. I don't see a rush of hands. In the interim, Donna, if I would put you on the spot, would you like to walk us through any of your issues here, or would you just like to move this this conversation to the list?
Thanks, James. I'm happy to, you know, just briefly go over some of the comments that I made on the charter. If I start at the end of the comments that I've made, reading through the charter, I recognize that there is a need for some kind of monitoring of external threats to ICANN, and perhaps that is It's possibly more important now that we're in a new environment. So I think what I concluded is that it seems to me that there's a need for some kind of strategy to develop on, you know, how I can.
Did we lose Donna?
Looks like it.
Oh, no. Sorry, Donna, I don't know if you can hear us, but we've lost your audio. Okay, while we wait for Donna to return, we'll go to Rafiq next, and then we have Michaeli and Keith after that. But Rafiq, go ahead.
Excuse me?
Rafiq, go ahead.
First, thanks for them and the comments in the email and the document. I have to share that with the working group for elaborated comments, and also if we can respond or make amendments to the charter based on that. What I want to say, here many times that there is an issue about this. The cross-committee working group is not appropriate. I cannot see what is proposed. I can see that.
I'm sorry, Rafiq, could I ask you to speak up just a little bit? A lot of folks are having difficulty hearing. If there's any possibility you could get a little closer to your microphone?
I am using the phone, so that's as much as close I can speak. But I can speak more louder. Is it better now?
Perfect, thank you. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
I'm sorry, I have a sore throat the last 2 days, so I will try my best. I acknowledge the concerns I am seeing and now in the chat, and also from the comments shared by Donna. I am happy to share those with the working group, so we can work in more elaborated answer and see how we can amend the charter further. However, with regarding to the structure, I'm still kind of bothered to see what is the best option. I can see there is proposal to have a discussion group. Okay, maybe, why not? The thing is, what we wanted to keep the cross-community working group is that it gives a certain space for the whole community to participate. My understanding that the discussion group was kind of a vehicle that used by, maybe I'm mistaken, used only by GNSO. So are we asking here or suggesting here that we use that to expand it to include the other part of the community? On the other hand, is how the GNSO will kind of propose it to the other sharding organization. I didn't hear any any issue or concern from the other groups. So just thinking here, it sounds that's only a part of the GNSO having concerns. So how we can accommodate that and also working with the other sharding organization.
Okay, thank you, Rafiq. And before we go on to the queue, Michaeli, I just want to see if Donna is reconnected. No? Okay, we'll continue to try to reach Donna, and we'll go to Michaeli, and we'll try her after Michaeli.
Michaeli,
go ahead. Oops, Donna, yes, I can hear you. You're very faint. Any possibility you can increase the Donna volume?
Can you hear me any better now?
Yes, please proceed.
Okay. So, Rafiq, unfortunately, I didn't hear what you what your comments were. Very inconvenient to lose audio at that time. I guess the essence of my comments is that I appreciate that there's a need for some kind of strategy or, you know, program that would assist ICANN in responding to, you know, external threats to the model or the, you know, their mission or mandate, particularly in post-transition environment. But I'm not sure that the CCWG is the best vehicle to do that. It became evident as I was, and it was quite helpful that the charter was done alongside the proposed charter for the CCWG that had been developed, because it became evident going through that the perhaps the CCWG is trying to fit itself within a mechanism that doesn't really suit it, because I don't think the way that the charter was laid out indicated that it was the CCWG format is fit for purpose. So I think, you know, if you can't agree that there's a better way to do this, the charter does require greater specificity. You know, there's a lot of internet governance-related meetings that happen throughout the year. I think most people are aware of when they happen. It would be really helpful if that information can be provided in the charter. You talk about developing papers, more information about what those topics might look like. I'm sure you have some indication of that. I think that would be really helpful as well. So, I am a little bit concerned that you would, that the intent is that the CCWG would kind of liaise with the board and the ICANN engagement team. I think there should be a stronger strategy among the three groups moving forward, because I'm concerned about overlap, duplication, and also I don't know that the CCWG should be the authoritative voice in any of these forums. I think it still sits with ICANN, the organisation, to be that. So I guess that's the essence of the comments that I made. Thanks, Jen.
Thanks, Donna. And just noting that we have a fairly healthy queue on this, and we're running a little short on time, so I would like to go through the remainder of the queue, which is McKelly, Keith, and Darcy. And then, looks like no more Keith. So McKelly and Darcy, and then I would like to close this topic and ask that we move the discussion to the list so that we can move on through our agenda, and that we will continue to discuss the CCWG-IG charter in Johannesburg. Next up is McKelly.
Thanks, James. McKelly for the record. Wholeheartedly agree with everything that Donna said. I mean, the one of the issues I see with this is that there needs to be discussion, but whether this particular method of hosting that discussion is the most appropriate is quite debatable, and I would almost say no, it isn't. I also am concerned as well that, you know, by putting framing it as CCWG, it suggests a couple of things. First off, that its output in people, no matter what that might be, is somehow endorsed by the rest of the community, when realistically speaking, it won't be. And also, I would wonder as well if this is going to be used by some people as a source of funding to attend. Various events around the globe, which again I would have huge issues with. Thanks.
Thanks, McKelly. And I just note that Darcy had to drop the call because she has a conflict here at the bottom of the hour. So she's put her comments in the chat, and I will just go ahead and read those into the record here. And then we can close the comments, which is that apologies, I have to drop this call due to a conflict. Regarding the CCWGIG charter, I agree with Donna's comments and the areas where she has identified vague or unclear items in the charter. It's important that the CCWG have a work plan and that its work is transparent and regularly reported on, and everything just scrolled, regularly reported on in detail. I share Donna's concern regarding how the CCWG intends to act as a voice for the community, and we also still have a case where we don't have a defined beginning, middle, and end for the CCWG. That seems contradictory to the intended usage of the CCWG. Rafiq has responded to McKelly's comments that regarding funding, that no one is funded to attend these events. I can see Rafiq, you raised your hand, but we are closing this topic. I would ask that councillors please continue this discussion on the list as we need to move towards a resolution of whether to extend or amend, modify, or withdraw GNSO support as a chartering organization for the CCWG. With that, I'm going to go ahead and close the queue. Rafiq, I see your hand, but we do need to move on. So if I could encourage you to take that to the list. I see you've got a nice exchange going with McKelly there, and that's encouraged. But also we need to address item number 7, which is a discussion on, which I also believe will take some time. It's a discussion on the vote to initiate Section 16 process for amending the GNSO recommendations relating to the Red Cross, Red Crescent protections. If you recall from our last meeting, we had a motion. We took it to an electronic ballot. The motion was adopted, not unanimously, but it was adopted. And we therefore now have a follow-up action to work with staff to reconvene the PDP to address the questions that were outlined in our motion, specifically on Red Cross protections. Thomas Rickert is here on the call from our previous update. He was the chair or co-chair, I can't remember, sorry, several years ago, of that original PDP, and has agreed to take a leadership position again in the reconvened and expedited resurrection of that work. And council has, I think, given some fairly clear and narrow guidance to this group that it should not be reopening the entirety of its recommendations, but specifically subjecting, I believe, a single recommendation or perhaps two recommendations to a fairly narrow question of review. And so I think that we, at this stage, we can discuss council next steps and whether councilors have any other questions for staff on the process that will be used on Thomas, on, you know, I think we've been talking with staff, for example, on what we can expect in terms of reinitiating participation. I think a lot of the original participants of this PVP are still very active in the ICANN community, so we expect that we should be covered there as far as membership. I think there is an open question of should this group limit itself to those who participated in the previous PVP, or should it be open to new members or perhaps replacement members for those original folks who no longer want to get the band back together, and all of those kinds of nuts and bolts details that will be necessary, and then of course what kind of a time frame we can expect this group to bring some of its findings back to council for our consideration. And just a reminder that council will again subject any amendments resulting from this, if there are any, to a council vote. It's not a foregone conclusion that this working group will come up with a different answer, or that that answer will be acceptable to council and all the stakeholder groups and constituencies in the GNSO. So that's just kind of an overview of where we are and the next steps ahead. Glad that you were able to stick around, Thomas. I see that your hand is up, and then we would certainly open a queue for any other councilors that have questions or comments or thoughts on this process. So, Thomas, go ahead.
Thanks very much, James. And I'm sorry that councillors have to listen to my voice again, only two agenda items later. But rest assured that I will not speak after the seventh agenda item. James, you mentioned you wanted to bring the band back together, and since you made reference to a musical movie, I will respond to the question whether there has been one or multiple chairs at the time. It was me, myself, and I chairing the IGO-INGO PDP at the time. And since we saw a lot of debate going on about this Article 16 of our operating procedures and whether or not to reopen the PDP, I would really like to share a quick thought with you, and that is that we should not be afraid of reopening. And reopening a PDP is nothing to be ashamed about. I'm not sure whether this has been made sufficiently clear, but at the time we did the PDP with the group of people, with the community input, with the facts that we had at the time. And things might change. And we have this this provision in the operating principles or in the PDP manual specifically for those circumstances where things change and GNSO council resolutions need to be revisited. When we concluded the PDP in November 2013, that was a point in time when the GAC had not yet specified and further clarified the wishes with respect to the names that we're discussing right now. And I know that this subject is discussed very controversially in the community. It always has been. Some like it, some don't. I think for us as stewards of the policy development for the generic namespaces, we should be passionate about process. We should not be passionate about outcome. And this is the way I see this. You know, certainly I would have hoped that my work on this topic was concluded in November 2013, but now since new facts came up, since the discussion is still going on, so be it. Let's get this job done. Nothing to be ashamed of. Again, I will do this with pride and pleasure, and I'm happy to take on this task to get this limited scope work done as quickly as possible. And let's not speculate about the outcome, because we do not know. That will be for the group to be discussed
once we reconvene. So, James, counselors, thanks so much for giving me the floor. I just wanted to get this out there because sometimes I get the impression that people think, okay, if we need to reopen this, then maybe work hasn't been done as diligently as it should have been. And I'm confident that at the time we did everything we could with the information we had. So I have no process issues at the time. And I think we're now going to follow that we have for our work, and then the result will be hopefully one that will be perceived by the community and beyond as reasonable outcome to this question.
Thank you, Thomas. And thank you very, very graciously for agreeing to take on this work once again. You know, it's just what is the mafia saying from The Godfather? Just when you thought you were out, they pulled you back in. So we appreciate you coming back into service, coming out of retirement for this. I just want to note and emphasize a couple of things that you mentioned, which is absolutely there is no presumption of what the outcome will be. The process is there to revisit. There is certainly no not intended to be an indictment or criticism of the previous PDP's work. I think understanding that the participation and the information that was at hand may have changed in the intervening almost 4 years. So it's certain that so it's certainly not something that you can beat up a previous PDP using the benefit of hindsight. This is, in fact, as we've always said, an opportunity and a process to double check that the recommendations are still sound and or make modifications to them if they are deemed necessary by the working group. So thank you for that. And again, thank you for taking this on. So counselors, any questions for Thomas or for staff? I'm going to get this started. We are, I think, very keenly interested in giving this sort of a very narrow remit when we reconstitute and reconvene this working group and getting them off the ground so that we can get this get something back to council as quickly and expeditiously as possible. Any thoughts or comments? Okay. Well, the queue is clear, and I expect that we will be hearing quite a bit more discussion around this, both on our list and in the weeks and months ahead. So thanks again, Thomas. We now move then to agenda item number 8, which is an update from the MSSI, Multi-Stakeholder Strategy and Strategic Initiatives. It's interesting that we have an acronym where two S's both refer to strategy, but it involves an update on some of the various reviews, the ATRT and RDS reviews, which are currently being stood up, the CCTRT, which is, I believe, just concluding a public comment period, and SSR2. I just want to point out that Margie Milam was scheduled to present on this from ICANN staff. I think she has indicated that in the interest of time that she will be sending her update via email for council to review. I would ask that when that comes, the counselors please review it thoroughly and then come prepared to our next meeting, which prepared to discuss and raise any questions regarding these strategic initiatives. But thank you to staff for preparing that as an offline update. And Thomas has left the call, so thank you. Okay. Then we move on to agenda item number 9, which is a council discussion on our planning activities for ICANN 59 in Johannesburg. I'm pleased to report that we're fairly well down the road to, at least from the GNSO side, of developing the schedule for the upcoming meeting in Johannesburg. And I'm wondering if staff has the block schedule handy, if that is something that we can load into the Adobe room at this time so folks can take a look. So, and first off, I should probably say that while I'm introducing this topic, you know, once again, a lot of the heavy lifting was done by the vice chairs and Donna in particular. So thank you for that, Donna. So here's a quick look, not only at the GNSO schedule, but also you can see where we've blocked out the cross-community sessions in the afternoon of each day. And I don't know if staff or Donna would like to highlight anything that remains an open issue or what our path forward to posting this particular schedule, but I think that this is pretty much finalized, and then we would take that to the other SOs and ACs, incorporate it into the overall master calendar, and I think that is scheduled to be published here in the next week or so. And I think that the only thing that we would need to work on then next would be how to allocate our sessions for day one on Monday. If you see the GNSO sessions in green, that would be from 9 until about 3, and how we would establish the agenda for those working sessions. So that's still an open task as well. But at this point, any thoughts from Donna or from staff or comments or questions from the council?
James, it's Donna. I don't have anything in particular that I wanted to add to people, but I guess if there is anything that seems to be glaringly bad or glaringly good as people look through this agenda, it would be a good time to let us know. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna. I think glaringly good is that we are this far down the road with still over a month to go, and while that may be cutting it close for some, it's certainly better than Helsinki and Hyderabad, which means we are getting better at this. We are learning, and so it is a little bit further. It is almost a fully baked schedule here, about a month out. So that's I think a marked improvement over the last couple of attempts at this. So I think that's kudos to you and all the folks who have worked on this. Are we in a position where this can be circulated to the council list or published? And that question is really to Donna or to staff. Donna, go ahead.
James, I don't see any reason why we couldn't. I was just going to ask Ben and Cheryl, because they're on the call. Cheryl, this is probably closer related to the ALAC than potentially what it is to the CCNSO. I suspect that some of the PDP working group sessions that we've allocated time for may cross over into ALAC sessions. So I expect that we may get some disgruntlement, for want of a better word, from some members of ALAC as a result of that, but hopefully we'll get some kind of a pass card on this one, because we're focusing heavily on trying to get the PDP work done during the 4 days that we have. Ben, I'm not sure that it's so much of an issue for the CCNSO, but I suspect that once we see our agenda overlaid with everybody else's, at the moment conflicts don't look so bad, but when the rest of the agenda gets overlaid with the GNSO one, then I think we might see some conflicts arise, which may cause some angst among people. Thanks, James.
Thanks, Donna. Cheryl, do you have a response?
Yes, I do. Thanks very much, and thanks for the question, Donna. Cheryl, for the record. I don't think you'll get much in the way of disgruntlement, Donna, because based on the block schedule that we had available to date, although the granular one is very important, the ALAC's been working extremely hard to arrange its agenda to minimise clashes. And, for example, one of the things I'm quite impressed with is, if our schedule stays the same within the ALAC, is that at least we have a lot of
a capability to get people in the room, at least in the new GTLD subsequent procedures PDP discussions. So I'm hoping that, you know, we might actually manage the opposite of having concern and disgruntlement, and that we might actually get more bums on the seat, so to see. Thanks.
Thanks, Cheryl. Both helpful and colorful, of course. So thanks for that. And it is good to coordinate with the ALAC. And I think to your point, in particular, with the policy forum format, minimizing conflicts is the goal. Eliminating them is probably impossible, but you know, we continue to strive for the best possible experience for the most possible people. But recognizing that some folks are just going to be pulled in multiple directions, and that's unavoidable to some extent, and probably a testament to just how invaluable their contributions are, that they need to be in so many different places. So this is okay. So and I'm just going back a little bit to Donna's point that we could publish this, or we're nearing a point where we can publish this. And I just don't know if staff has any other thoughts on that. And okay. Okay. Any other thoughts or comments on the schedule before we close this agenda item? I would say keep an eye on this. We are getting to a point where this is finalized. Keep an eye on this and watch this space for further development. Oh, I'm sorry, Phil. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, James. I did want to comment on Johannesburg and meetings generally. It's not on the schedule. Is this an appropriate time?
Yes, Phil. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's just an operational concern. I don't know if other counselors are dealing with this, but up through last year, for supported travelers, ICANN constituency travel, if they would send you a notice saying you're approved for these dates. If you plan to either arrive early or leave several days later, you would advise them, and they would book those hotel rooms and just advise the hotel which nights they were paying for and which nights you'd be responsible for personally. Starting with Copenhagen, they have a new policy, I'm not sure of the reason, where they will only book the nights of approved travel, and you're supposed to book your own additional nights once you're advised of the hotel. Now, that worked fine with Copenhagen. They gave lots of advance notice of the hotel I was booked into. But for Johannesburg, I booked my air travel about 6 weeks ago, advised them immediately, got an, you know, asked for those dates, and got a response back, well, you'll have to book those. And this is to come in one day early to partake in the accountability sessions. That's the only extra night I was requesting. A month went by. You know, they said, we're waiting to hear from meetings. We'll advise you as soon as we know where you're staying. A month went by. I emailed them this week saying, hey, it's been a month. And I got basically the same response back. We're still waiting on meetings. So I would hope that we could convey to the meeting staff that if, and travel staff, that if this is a new policy, that we have to book our own additional nights around the official nights, that we really need sufficient advance notice to make sure, one, that we have a hotel room. That can be difficult in some cities on short notice. And two, that it's the same hotel we'll be staying at otherwise, because there's, if I go to South Africa and they book me in a different hotel than the one for the official days, it means in the middle of the accountability sessions, I'd have to check out of one hotel and check in to another in the middle of the day. So that's it. I don't know if others are facing that, but I think we need to get a message about giving as much advance notice of the hotels they've picked for us as possible. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil. And I noted that your comment has raised some responses both in the chat, and some other folks have raised their hands. So it looks like you've got some agreement here. I think that we can certainly capture this and convey it to meeting planning staff and say, look, you know, we kind of have to have one or the other here, either help us book the unpaid nights or give us enough notice so that we can do it ourselves, but you can't just spring it on people in the last minute so that we're scrambling for a place to stay in some faraway city. And I think your concerns are valid, and we'll relay those to the planning staff. I have Carlos, and then I have a quick couple of items for planning that I would like to raise. But Carlos, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I'm not reacting to Phil, James, just to the planning and the comments you made. There is an expectation from side of the GAC if there is going to be a continued opportunity to have these, how do you call them, managed sessions on IGOs, INGOs. The late scheduling in Copenhagen made it very difficult for people to participate. So there is a request. There is a question from the side of the GAC if we're going to keep having these late night negotiating meetings. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carlos. I put myself in the queue because there's just a couple of items I'd like to just kind of send to council and say that if we're going to raise some questions or concerns with meeting planning staff, one item is that some of the registrars who have are local to Johannesburg have very helpfully noted that the venue is in a new development area, a new business park, and is a very you know, it's easy to get around and it's safe, but there are some parts of Johannesburg you probably want to avoid, particularly after dark, when you might encounter some, you know, some folks who might want to relieve you of your wallet and phone. And so in the past, I know that we have had from meeting planning staff, we've had some, you know, some briefings on safety and security, and I think that that might be something that we could get something helpful from them on that. And then on another point, I'm looking for support from counselors and from your stakeholder groups and constituencies. I've also floated the idea that for ICANN 60 in Abu Dhabi, that ICANN consider or at least look into the feasibility of getting a shuttle bus from the Dubai airport to the venue in Abu Dhabi. My understanding it's about an hour and a half, you know, maybe less. Drive on the highway there, but the airport situation would open up significantly more routes and cheaper fares, and give folks a lot more options than the Abu Dhabi airport. So that's just a couple of items that I'm raised with ICANN planning staff, and if they come up in the course of your discussions with your SGs and Cs, I would definitely appreciate some support from other elements in the GNSO on that. Okay. So then let's see. The next item we have is AOB. We have about 6 minutes left. We have two items for AOB. The first one is an update as promised from Susan on the recent meeting of the Standing Selection Committee and its work to select a GNSO representative for the empowered community, but also its work generally, I think, for ATRT3 and some of the other upcoming review teams. So, Susan, if you're in a position to take it away, and if you have any materials that need to be loaded, I would ask staff to switch out this PDF. Go ahead, Susan.
Thanks, James. Susan Kawaguchi for the record. The SSC met this past Monday to discuss the empowered community role for the representative from the GNSO Council. And as you all remember, in Copenhagen, we were tasked with by the council to create a criteria. And so we needed to develop the criteria. Whoops, seems to be moving on me. And then have this criteria and plan process to the council before the June meeting, and so we're aiming to have that in by June 19th. We had a good discussion We definitely have some variations in what the standing committee members think should be involved in the role, what the role comprises. And this is some general information about the empowered community, but this is staff put this slide together for us. You know, basically, it's more of a communication role. It's not a decision-making role, and but the representative chosen would have to be fully immersed in the council work. So to receive and send EC notifications, the moderating the community forums led to a little discussion. So we're looking into that a little bit more, exactly what the community forums would, you know, what that really means. And then also community mediation, where the, if there's, you know, we allege the board, or someone alleges the board is failed to comply. So we have some basic information, and we're working on that right now. As you know, we did pick the, or I had recused myself because I was a candidate, but we did pick the candidates for the RDS, and then we're looking forward to the ATRT. I don't think that's the application period is closed on that yet, and I could be wrong. But so right now we're working on all of this. If you have input or comments or concerns, that would be really good to hear, you know, to hear the council's viewpoint on how, you know, this, the criteria and the processes should be created. And I think that's it, unless you have questions.
Great. Thank you, Susan. It's really appreciate that update and your work on the SSC. And in particular, I'm glad to hear the emphasis on the SSC, that the GNSO representative is more of a mouthpiece for the GNSO and for the council, and not necessarily a decisional participant. That's an important distinction, and I'm glad to see that that's being taken on board. And I can report that the EC, in just about everything it does, the EC administration is sort of feeling its way in terms of how it notifies the board of new board members, and how it convenes a community forum to discuss things like the budget, and all of those things are being invented as we go. So thank you for that update. And I see Carlos. Is that a new hand, Carlos?
No, James, it's not you. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I thought it might be because it was up for a while. So, but thank you for that, and thank you, Susan. We have one other item, AOB, that I think was raised by Darcy, who unfortunately had to drop the call. I'm happy to raise it, or Michele as well. But if you, Michele, would you like to tee this one up? We have about 2 minutes.
Thanks, James. Michele, for the record. I assume you're referring to the PPSAI?
No, this, well, sort of. This is the interrelation between IRTPC and PPSAI, and the instructions that we received from the board a couple of meetings ago.
Okay. I was prepared to give an update on the proxy privacy accreditation group overall, not specifically on the IRTPC thing. So your call.
Okay, I'll just take it away in the interest of time, because we're up against the top of the hour. If you recall, we had some discussions about how to fully implement the new transfer policy. The IRTPC change of registrant transfer policy was running into conflict with privacy proxy services. And a request on behalf of registrars was sent to the board. We also had some discussions with other stakeholder groups and constituencies to kind of flesh out how we wanted to send a note to the board. The board responded by doing two things. One was giving kind of an immediate waiver of this particular part of enforcement of the new policy for transfers, but also asking the registrars and I believe, you know, the GNSO generally to convene a discussion group to lay out some possible solutions to resolving this this conflict. I don't know where we stand on that, and I think that was one of the reasons why Darcy wanted to raise this issue, is it's just kind of floating out there, and I think that we need to figure out what we need to do in terms of immediate next steps. So I guess putting it on the council agenda for visibility and awareness, but if there's no, and I'm presuming and trying to remember our conversations within the registrars, but if there's no objections, I think we can ask the registrar stakeholder group to work with staff to put together, you know, kind of a cross, I don't want to say cross community, but let's say a group consisting of a variety of stakeholders from the GNSO to just kind of lay out the problem and discuss some ideas and come back with some proposals on how this can be implemented to avoid this this conflict. And that's just my effort to kind of get this thing out of the quicksand and get it moving again. So that's all we had associated with this particular item. Question, Paul, go ahead.
Hi, it's Paul McGrady. So I guess I'd like to understand procedurally how that works. So is the item that was the board suspended enforcement on, is that implementation of policy? And if it is implementation of policy, is the way to modify policy that a member of the groups within the GNSO community find to be problematic, convening an informal small group? Is that how we do it? That doesn't sound like that's how we usually do it. But if it's not policy, I guess that's okay, but I just, it doesn't seem like that's, I don't think that's what we're talking about. So, James, can you shed some clarity? Is it an implementation of a policy that we're concerned about? And so are we looking to change the policy, or is it the implementation that we're concerned about, and do we undo the work of an IRT by having an informal group? Wouldn't this go back to the group that gave us this in the first place? I guess I don't know. Thanks.
Yeah, Paul, good questions, and I'll try to fumble my way through it here a little bit, is that this is a purely an implementation question. The policy was somewhat ambiguous on this. There were some discussions in the implementation team. We went forward with one part of it and then immediately flagged some of these operational challenges with implementing the policy as written. And in fact, a lot of the folks who participated in the implementation IRT, which was fairly small, have said, you know, we probably, if we had known we were going to encounter this, we probably would have had different thoughts about it. So can we take another look at this? I'm trying to be, you know, trying to be as removed from this as possible, but I think that this is a, this is something that is not tweaking or poking at any recommendations that came out of a PDP. This is just simply you know, kind of nuts and bolts operation of how we actually implement this this policy. But I think that we did have some concerns with a number of groups, including the IPCD, and discussed how we can address those. And I think that the appropriate mechanism would be to reconvene the IRT that came up with this in the first place and ask them to take another look. The challenge there, of course, is that the IRT was a very, very sparse group. I mean, it was like a couple of registrars and one other person. So maybe we need to see if we can beef that up a little bit and get some broader participation. And I hope that answers your question. Paul, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, James. I think maybe if you could just flesh out the plan a little bit more on the list so that I know what I'm taking back to my folks, I'd appreciate it. There are people who have, you know, strong interest in this topic and understand the history far better than I do. Thanks.
Yep, absolutely will do. And I think that on the last time we were working through that, I think Steve Metallis was very involved in this as well. So we can certainly make sure we get him involved in that and anyone else that's interested. Okay, so we'll take that away as an action item. I think my primary objective and intent in raising it today was to kind of get it out of the limbo and get it back on Council's radar, and it seems like we've done that. So we are 6 minutes over our time. We have reached the end of our agenda. Does anyone have any other items for AOB or any other topics to raise by Council? Okay, seeing none and no hands raised, I would say thank you for sticking with us for a couple of minutes over time. Thank you very much for participating in this work and for May. And our next meeting, I believe, is in Johannesburg. But until then, please watch for updates and developments on the list as a number of substantive items, I think, will be moving to email for continued work and resolution. So thank you very much, and we can stop the recording.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.